Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from Matthew 6. I will read verses 7 to 13. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases such as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the word of God. You may be seated.
Heavenly Father, Lord, your word is true, it is perfect, sufficient for all we need, Lord. We thank you for it. I pray that your word will go forth boldly this morning, that minds will be opened, hearts will be opened, that we will hear what you have to say, Lord, take it seriously, apply it to our lives, Lord. Pray this in your name, amen. Good morning. My name is Stiles, one of the pastors here at Westkirk. Whether you're here in person or joining on live stream, it is wonderful to be with you this morning. We've been making our way through the Lord's Prayer, which I have thoroughly been enjoying. It has been wonderful. And this morning brings us to our fourth petition. Now, this petition marks a shift as we continue on in our study. Calvin refers to this shift as a change of form from first table petitions to second table petitions. That is, the first table are the petitions and precepts that relate to the proper worshiping and acknowledging the nature of God, who he is, how he acts. We've seen that so far. He is our Father. He is our King. He is the one that exercises his sovereignty over all mankind. And it is our prayer, it's our desire that his name be known, sanctified, glorified, hallowed. This morning marks the first petition that Calvin would place within the second table. That is, those things which we ought to ask for ourselves. Now, if we were to guess on what the first petition may be, having no knowledge of the Lord's Prayer, but some doctrinal and theological knowledge, we might suppose that the Lord would instruct us to pray something for ourselves that would be very spiritual, that we may be forgiven of our sins, that we wouldn't fall into temptations, that we would be good Christians. Well, the Lord does tell us to pray for those things, but not before telling us to pray for our daily bread. Now, I suspect that if I asked most of you this morning to give me a one or maybe two sentence answer on what this petition is calling us to do, most of you would answer, Jesus is instructing us to pray for what we need. And you know what? You wouldn't be wrong. You wouldn't be wrong. The petition itself, I think, is pretty straightforward and simple. It's easy to understand. However, for being such a simple petition, not only are there a ton of implications that we can draw from it, but we are notoriously bad at praying it, at meaning it, at living it. We so quickly default to our own power and ability to provide for ourselves and our families with what we think we need. And with that comes a whole lot of stress and anxiety. I saw a study this week that showed that 40 million Americans have been diagnosed with anxiety disorders. And I couldn't really get a number on general anxiety and stress because everybody deals with it at some point. Anxiety, stress, and worry are so commonplace that we've kind of just accepted it as a normal part of our life that we can't escape from. It just is. And I think we will all continue to suffer with that. But shouldn't the life of the Christian look different? Shouldn't the way we live be different? As we look at this petition, I think we will find out that it should be, and it can be. In conjunction with this petition, we're going to spend some time this morning looking at the latter part of Matthew 6, and I think that we will be reminded of this, that at the heart of this petition, give us this day our daily bread, is the idea that we can pray for what we need with confidence and live a life without anxiety because our life belongs to the Lord and the Lord values that life. That's the big idea for this morning. Let me say that again. We can pray for what we need with confidence and live a life without anxiety because our life belongs to the Lord and the Lord values that life. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. It'll be projected here on the screen as well. This is just shortly after the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is still talking. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Let me read you through to 29. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. Their life belongs to the Father. It's his. Look at your life, our life. It belongs to the Father. It is his. And this is one of the implications we draw from when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." When we pray this, we are recognizing our creatureliness. We are created beings, and our life is upheld daily by the governing, providential hand of God. We're admitting our dependence to him. And this is something we often forget. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We are constantly trying to view ourselves and to act like our own little gods. It is through our own might, our own genius, our own will that we will provide for and take care of ourselves. This very petition just obliterates that point of view. We have to pray to God for our daily bread, for our needs, because it is only through him that those needs are met. This prayer then, this daily prayer, something that we ought to be praying every single day, reminds us of our complete and total dependence on God. So looking at that, for those maybe who are struggling with having their needs met, maybe financially, you just don't have the things that you feel like you need, this petition is a reminder that God will provide for us. He cares for his children. He'll provide for our needs, even when those needs are different from maybe what we have in mind. What about for others who are not struggling financially? Maybe the wealthy. Why pray for our daily needs when we have enough stored up for days, weeks, months, years? I think that's a good question. Calvin says the answer to that is easy. He says, these words remind us that unless God feed us daily, the largest accumulation of the necessities of life will be of no avail. Of no avail, no matter how much we've stored up. It is God who feeds. Wealth may promise security, but that promise is empty. It's fleeting. I remember a couple years ago, I was having lunch with my sister Kyra, and I had made some comment about how my life would just be less stressful if I just had more money. And I'll never forget, she looked at me and she's like, Siles, I sit across from people all the time. She worked at a financial institution, Foster Group, with people who have millions of dollars. And they look at me in horror because they don't know if they have enough. They don't know if it's gonna last. It's fleeting. It doesn't offer security. This is why the wealthy are often still anxious, if not more so, if they have enough. Nothing in this life promises security and relief from anxiety except for our Heavenly Father who promises to provide for what we need. And so we pray to God for our daily bread and for our needs to be met, knowing that He will do so. This gets back to the idea that I spoke of a couple weeks ago, and that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are praying the God's promises back to Him. Look, Jesus says, look at the birds, look at the lilies. See how they're fed, see how they're clothed, see how I take care of them. Are you not more important than they? How much more will I take care of you? Right here, God is promising. He instructs us to pray this prayer, and then just a few verses later in the same sermon, He promises us that He will fulfill it, that He will give us what we need, feed us and clothe us. You will be cared for. You will be loved. Now, I think we need to wrestle through the problem that may be creeping up in our minds at this point. What about Christians who do suffer? What about those who have starved or died from the elements due to a lack of shelter or clothing? What about Christians who are killed, murdered? Did they really receive what they needed? As I wrestle through this, I think we need to remember that Jesus promises care, but not a carefree life. Jesus promises to meet our needs, but He knows what those needs are. He knows when our life will start. He knows when our life will end. And it is all according to His sovereign plan. The sparrows are fed, but they also fall to the earth and die. Flowers are clothed beautifully, but they also fade and die. Troubles will come, sorrows will come, pain and suffering will come. Christians will be persecuted and experience severe trials. But this promise helps fortify our faith in those moments when we are experiencing it ourselves or watching others go through it. For in those impossible times, God promises to be there and care and provide what we need in those moments. He promises our daily bread. I thought it was interesting, too, that this promise comes from Jesus Himself. Jesus is saying this. Jesus fully God, but yes, Jesus fully man, who knew all about suffering and needs. Jesus Himself said, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. From the very beginning of His ministry, He was persecuted. People sought out to kill Him. They didn't like what He said. He had throngs of people following Him all the time, trying to push Him to a path that He was not there to do, misunderstanding His ministry. He was weary and tired. His closest friends betrayed Him when He needed Him the most. They fled and left. He suffered a horrifying death and a spiritual anguish that we can't even fathom. And yet it's Jesus who points us to the carefreeness of the birds and of the lilies. It is this man who promises that God will be faithful to provide and that we should put our trust in him. As he put his trust in God up to the cross. What an example to us. This is why Jesus says, continuing on, if you're following with me in Matthew verse 31, this is why he says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There is simply no need to be anxious. Jesus tells us that we are not to be like those who don't know who the Father is, who don't have a Heavenly Father, who lives their lives as if they are not cared for, and so they have to worry and stress to provide for themselves. Our Father already knows what we need, and he provides it for us. We need to be careful that we don't make a couple of mistakes or wrong conclusions from this. First, we mustn't mistake not being anxious with not caring about essential things. The Bible, Scripture, has a very robust view of the human body. Jesus came into a human body for us. There are many, many passages that talk about how God values the body and we should value the body. And so these essential things, they're important for the body, we should value them. It's good and right that we provide for ourselves and for our families. But we can't be so consumed with it that our spiritual life then suffers. Jesus tells us to seek the kingdom of God, promising us that he will give us all the things that the Gentiles, that the people, that non-Christians are pursuing after. This is why I think he lists your daily bread first. This is why I think that petition comes first. We can seek the spiritual thing because God promises us to provide for our needs. Pray this. Pray for your daily bread. Know that I provide it, and seek ye first the kingdom of God. God tells us to seek after him, to follow him, to serve him, and he provides for us so that we can do just that. Secondly, though, we mustn't mistake not being anxious with not being prepared. When Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. He's not saying, listen, don't even think about tomorrow. Just live in the moment. He's not saying that. No, it is good. It's right to be prepared. It's good and right to be wise, to make wise decisions, to be discerning. I think finances is a good example of this. It's good to be responsible, to save money, to not go spending on everything you might want, accumulating large amounts of debt just because we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. My father taught me to be a wise steward of the things that I have, and it served me well. So Jesus is saying then, be wise, be discerning, be prepared, and then leave the anxious and the anxiety and the worry behind. Because at the end of the day, even the most savvy saver, the most genius investor, are still completely reliant on the provision of God. Completely. So then we have seen that God holds our life in his hand. We've seen that we are creatures, totally dependent on him. We have seen that fact shouldn't cause us concern, but rather great comfort, because God values you. He values your life. He values his lesser creations, such as the birds and the flowers. How much more must he value you? And so he promises to take care of us, to provide for our needs. And he knows what he needs, well, what we need, even if we can't clearly see that ourselves. And so, is there a call then in this petition? Yes, there's a call. We should be praying daily for our daily bread, and we shouldn't be anxious. But there's something else here. When Jesus taught us to pray this petition, was the main focus on our individual needs? Is that the main focus here? I think the answer to this lies in the fact that Jesus phrases this as, give us this day our daily bread. Not give me this day my bread. In other words, we are not only praying that God will provide for our needs, but that he will provide for the needs of our brothers and sisters. Maybe this isn't you, this is definitely me, but I fascinate myself in how quickly, how so often I'm completely self-absorbed when I'm praying this prayer. That it's just me. When the entire prayer is full of personal plural pronouns. Our, we, us. We are to be a people that pray for the needs of those around us. We are connected in Christ. We know this. He's the vine. We're the branches. We are the body. We are engrafted into him in baptism. All of these allusions and illustrations, these scriptural truths, we are connected. And so our concern should be with the need of our family as well. This is why almost every Sunday when we're praying the prayer of the Kirk, who's ever leading that says, let us know. Let us know what your needs are. We want to pray for you. We want to know. We love to pray for your needs. However, I think that a proper understanding of our duties as Christians would tell us that when we pray this prayer, we are reminding ourselves, motivating ourselves to go beyond just prayer. How many times do we say when somebody comes up to us and shares a need, a concern, something that they're going through their life, we say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll pray for you. And then we go on our day as if we had done them some great service. Challenge yourself in those moments. Now, I am not saying that I'm not belittling prayer or diminishing it. Prayer is important. We're commanded to do it. We're commanded to pray for each other. When I know that people are praying for me, I am encouraged. I love that. But maybe we could do more in those moments. Maybe, just maybe, God will use you to be the instrument by which he answers someone's prayer when they pray, give us this day our daily bread. Maybe that looks like actually physically getting involved and helping someone who is in need. Or maybe it's giving of the excess that God has given to you. Think of that. Ask yourself, what do I have an excess of? Money, just things, stuff, time, maybe? Can I give more? Can I give more to my brothers and sisters? When I pray, give us this day our daily bread, not just with myself in mind, but with my brothers and sisters in mind, how can I go out and be an instrument by which God answers that prayer? Chris came up a couple weeks ago and talked to us about the Benevolence Fund. The Benevolence Fund. This is a great way to put action behind our prayer, right? Benevolence means kindness. This is our fund that people put into and then we give it out to people in need. People in our congregation, yes, but sometimes other people who call a church because they have nowhere else to go and they hear that us Christians are supposed to be different, loving, kind, giving. What a wonderful way to put action behind our words when we pray this petition, because it is calling us to action. So, Christian, be reminded this morning then, God holds your life in his hand. This is something to celebrate because he loves you and he cares for you. God values your life and he is dedicated to loving you and taking care of you and meeting your needs. There's no need to be anxious. And we, as imitators of Christ, should be willing and motivated to follow in Jesus' footsteps and be a people that genuinely care about the needs of others and are constantly looking for ways that we can meet those needs. It's a corporate prayer. Let's be thankful, for God does give us our daily bread, and he will continue to do so. Therefore, in the words of our Savior, do not be anxious. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we are an anxious people. We are stressed. We worry. We try to place everything on our own shoulders. We will continue to struggle with this, Lord, because we are sinners. Yet I pray for your grace in our lives. Lord, remind us to pray this prayer, to think through it, to not mindlessly mutter words, but to be reminded of what we are saying when we recite the prayer that you taught us, in particular this morning, the fourth petition, to give us our daily bread. Lord, we thank you that you promised to do just that. Lord, we thank you that you care for us, that you promise to provide for our needs, that you are present in good and in bad times. Let us rest on this, Lord. Help us with our anxiety. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
In response to the hearing of the word, we now rise in heart or body to sing Lavish Love, Abundant Beauty.
Thank you.
People of God, receive this benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.